Welcome to the Healing with Meg podcast. We will be talking all things acne, skin health, hormonal health, and so much more. The mission is women's optimal health. I'll be doing a mix of solo episodes, Q&A sessions, along with having experts, doctors, coaches, estheticians, dermatologists, deep diving into women's health with a focus on skin issues. Let's dive right into the episode. Welcome to episode number 5. So we are in the middle of January now and things are going good. I wanted to give a little bit of a life update. You may be able to hear some background noise today because once again, we have the neighbors singing. But that's okay, it's all fine. So, I already recorded this full podcast and I was having a pretty bad day when I did it and I was feeling really not too great, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But basically I recorded the podcast and I listened to it back and I just decided I'm just gonna start again. I'm gonna get rid of the whole thing and start again because I felt like it wasn't even helpful for anyone. So here we are recording it again, and this is going to be a lot better than the one I recorded before. Okay, so in the last episode, the one I recorded and then deleted, what I was talking about was a kind of a little update, a little life update. And it's something I've been going through for a while now, which is, it's not particularly dramatic, but I've been coming off antidepressants. It's been going on for a while now that I've been coming off antidepressants really, really slowly. And basically, I've not mentioned it on my Instagram for ages because it was a couple of years ago that I shared with people that I was on antidepressants and why and what had happened to led me to go on them. But then this past year, I haven't shared that I've been on them. So I was kind of hesitant to admit that I was on them because I'm a health coach and I feel like I'm meant to be almost perfect, even though I'm not and even though none of us are. I have this kind of expectation for myself that because I'm a health coach and because I talk about health so much that I kind of need to be perfect, which obviously I'm not. But I guess I've been a bit embarrassed and a bit wary of sharing that I've been on antidepressants. And the truth is, once you go on antidepressants, it can be really hard to come off them. And I originally went on them about 7 years ago that I initially went on them because I was going through a particularly hard time. I went on antidepressants. I went on an SSRI called sertraline, and I went on them and then I came off them. And then quite a few years ago, I ended up going back on them because of another hard time. And ever since then, I've been back on them. But throughout the whole time, my aim was always to come off them. So whilst my health has been pretty good and I've cleared my skin and things are just generally a lot better with my health, I have still been on antidepressants, and almost you can't get addicted to antidepressants, but what happens is it changes your biology, it changes the processes that are going on in your body. So when you try to come off them, it can be really, really difficult and it can be a bit scary because you can feel a bit out of control. Basically, these past few weeks, I went down to taking an incredibly low dose of the antidepressants to the point where it's pretty much I'm not even taking it anymore, really. I went down to a super low dose, and this past week I really felt the effects of coming off it, and I started to feel all these symptoms coming up again and all these kind of withdrawal symptoms come up again. And it probably sounds dramatic to when I say this, but it can be really scary because there's weird things you experience, like electrical shocks in your brain. It's like they call them brain zaps. And then you experience aches and pains and all sorts of weird things in your body. You experience like disturbances in your gut. You can have, you know, tummy problems. But the thing that I found the most hardest is the anxiety that comes up, and almost like a little bit of panic comes up, and then thinking, oh gosh, what if this is something really bad? Like, what if this pain in this area of my body is something really bad? And just adjusting to the new levels of different hormones in my body. And because obviously when you come off the SSRI, you do have a drop in serotonin, and things are changing in your body, and it can be really weird. It can just give you really weird symptoms, and it can be very uncomfortable in terms of feeling anxious and feeling scared and feeling panicky and really low. And like this week I have felt honestly so incredibly exhausted, so exhausted. So yeah, I did just want to share that because it's kind of a perfect thing to talk about with this episode, because in this episode I am talking a bit about social media illusions and unrealistic standards of beauty, but also unrealistic standards of life in general, and the way that we can put ourselves across on social media in this way where we're like absolutely perfect and have this amazing life. But actually behind the scenes, you don't actually know what's really going on. So for the people that have been with me since the very beginning, from, you know, a few years ago, you will probably know all about my journey with antidepressants. But for a lot of other people, they have no idea that I've been on them. And like I said, I haven't wanted to share it because I've been a little embarrassed. I had a little shame around it, feeling like almost like a failure that I'm even on them when I'm meant to be so healthy. And but even the best of people end up taking different medications, and it's okay. So yeah, I just wanted to give you that little life update. I'm all okay, but it hasn't been exactly easy, and that's fine. I will come through it and I'll be fine. But yeah, I've been coming off antidepressants behind the scenes, and yeah, it's not the easiest thing. If you've ever done it, you'll probably understand what I mean. And it's weird because the first time I came off them, I went off them cold turkey, which I don't recommend anyone does. And I was actually fine that time. Maybe this time because I've been on them longer, I don't know. It's just been a bit more of a difficult process. That being said, I know it will be worth it in the end. I know that I'll feel a lot better being off antidepressants, because there are side effects. With any medication, there are side effects. And honestly, it was never even something I wanted to be on. It was more out of necessity rather than choice, to be completely honest. And because, as you know, I mean, at least with the NHS, it can be really tricky when you go for help with mental health, especially if you don't have much money. When you need help for mental health problems like depression and anxiety, you often get given medication. And, you know, in the UK, we have a really long waiting list for getting therapy, free therapy and things like that. So if you don't have much money, it can be really difficult. If you do have money, of course, get therapy, get help, go see a functional medicine doctor and do all the tests, because especially with depression and anxiety, there's a lot of things going on in the body that can be contributing to that. So it can be things going on in your gut. It can be inflammation going on in your body that can actually impact your mental health. So there's lots of things that can go on there. So yeah, that is that for that. And I've also, the doors have just closed to my online program, 30 Days Kickstart to Clear Skin. So I have a wonderful group of women that have joined that program. And so I'm going to be focusing pretty much all of my energy into that group of women, into that private Instagram page, and supporting them as they go through the program. So that's been really, really good. So into the episode today, we're talking about perfect skin. Is perfect skin actually possible? Now, if you speak to different people obviously everyone's going to have a different opinion about this. Maybe estheticians, and maybe they will say that perfect glass skin is possible. I don't know. In my honest opinion, I don't think that perfect skin is possible. And I guess we have to define what we mean by perfect skin. So when I use the word perfect skin in this episode, what I mean is that flawless, no pores, no visible pores, skin that looks like a 10-year-old kid's skin. Do you know what I mean? Like if I think of my skin when I was 10 years old, it was perfect, clear, even. You couldn't see any of my pores. It was just so soft and beautiful, perfect, flawless. But the truth is that once you hit puberty, once you go over the age of, I don't know, about 12, the likelihood of having perfect skin for the rest of your life is just not realistic, not in my opinion, because, I mean, we live because we're human and our skin produces sebum. And we get visible pores, we get fine lines, we get wrinkles, laughter lines, frown lines, we get little blemishes and scars, and especially if you experience acne, you get scars, you get texture, you get all this different things going on your face. And that is totally normal. I cannot stress enough how normal that is. To have hair on your face as well, to have a little mustache like and fine hair on your face. I know everyone's into shaving their skin now, which is cool because, to be fair, it does make makeup go on really, really nice. I sometimes do shave my face because it helps your makeup to go on really nicely. But having hair on your face, that, you know, the fine hair is very normal. Having visible pores is incredibly normal. Having a bit of a shiny skin is normal. All this stuff is normal. It's okay. But of course, there is this standard of perfection that we are all aiming for, I guess. And I don't want to blame it all on social media, because this was happening way before social media. This was happening when I was younger, when I was a teen, and I was reading magazines like Shout and Ms. Magazine, Girl Talk. The pictures of the celebrities and the women in there, they have absolutely perfect skin. They were airbrushed, they had makeup on. So this is not a new thing, but what I think has happened with social media is that now it can appear as though everyone and anyone, not just A-list celebrities, but anyone and anyone has absolutely perfect, flawless skin. And the things that people can do with apps like Facetune or Photoshop, or even just putting a filter on, it seems as though the majority of influencers or people on Instagram will use filters pretty much all the time. And I'm guessing you have probably tried those filters. They completely alter your face. And I'm not just talking about putting on a little filter to kind of soften your face. I'm talking about these filters on Instagram literally change the shape of your nose. They make your lips bigger, they make your eyes bigger, they slim down your face, they change the shape of your face. They actually change the way your face looks. So how can we ever be sure that the people that we're looking at on Instagram, that's their actual real face? The truth is, we can't be sure unless we meet them in person, see them in the physical, in real life. We just won't know if that's their real face. And the same goes for even friends and family and people that we used to know. It can be easy to look at them and think, oh, wow, they're like so perfect. They haven't aged at all. But of course they have, because we're all aging. That's a really important thing to remember. We have completely warped views of what we are meant to look like. And something that I do and still do, you know, when you accidentally go on your selfie mode, you're like looking at your phone and you accidentally turn on the camera and it goes onto selfie mode. And I'm like, whoa, because it's not a flattering angle. You can see my double chin. You can see my pores. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Now, I'm not going to take a photo of that and share that on social media. I mean, who is honestly going to want to do that? Instead, what I'm going to do is change the angle and make sure it's really nice lighting and make sure my skin's looking glowing. Do you know what I mean? So remember that when you are seeing pictures of people online, whether it is a celebrity or whether it is a friend of yours, you are potentially, or not potentially, you are probably looking at something that has been curated for you to kind of make you think that they are perfect or, I guess, better than they are in real life. So what I encourage you to do is when you meet up with family, friends, or even just walking down the street, just look at people and look at people's, I mean, not in a creepy way, but just look at people's actual faces. I swear there is no one I see in real life that's my age or older that looks like the perfection that we see on Instagram. People in real life have actual real faces with real skin, with blemishes and things, and frown lines and all sorts of lines and blemishes. I have never seen a person that looks genuinely airbrushed in real life. It's just not a real thing. So I encourage you to just look at the people around you in person and think, okay, this is what's realistic. This is reality right now. The things I am looking at on Instagram or TikTok, whatever it is that you look at, that is curated for you. It is not necessarily realistic. And it's definitely not realistic to compare yourself with what you see. And I feel like a lot of us already know all this, but it's so easy to go online and forget it. So I guess this is just a reminder to not compare parts of yourself with what you're seeing online. Which brings me on to the next point, which is when you're on social media, you are looking at 1% of a person's day. You are looking at 1% of a person's whole day, where I'm sure good things happened, bad things happened, neutral things happened, boring things happened, they went to the toilet, they cooked meals, they ate food, they maybe paid a bill, they maybe hoovered their house, they went to work. They probably did a bunch of stuff during that day, and you are seeing 1% of that. Even if it seems like they share their whole lives, they're sharing 1% of their life. I mean, that's certainly true for me. I really do share a really small percentage of my life because it's impossible to show my whole life. There's lots of things that I don't show. I don't show lots of good things. I don't show lots of bad things that happen. And I definitely don't show the boring stuff, you know, me trying to sort out my tax and me being on the phone to HMRC, trying to sort out my tax and speaking to 5 different people and not getting anywhere trying to pay my tax. I certainly don't show you if I've had, I don't know, if I've had a particularly bad day or even sometimes if I've had a really good day, I don't necessarily show it. There's so much that you don't see. And I think we can get so easily sucked in to comparing our real lives to someone's 1% that, and comparing that to what you see online. And that's just a recipe for disaster. And I say this knowing that so many times in the past I've met up with people, had a conversation with them, and they've told me all about that maybe they're going through a separation, they've had a really bad argument with their partner, and then like the next day I'll see on maybe Instagram they've posted a picture of themselves and their partner and they're looking so happy. And had I not had that conversation with them, knowing what was going on behind the scenes, I would have thought they were so perfect and their life is so idyllic and so perfect and I don't know, I would have a very romantic view of their life. But we all know it's just not true. Even the most perfect of relationships have arguments. Me and Paul have arguments, we bicker, we have days where it's not romantic and it's hard and it's frustrating and we get annoyed. And we also have lots of really good days and really lovely days and very neutral days where it's neither of those things. That's reality. That's realistic. And we all know this to be true. I know you know this to be true. So, and like with me talking about the antidepressants, that's a great example of that. Most people online would not know that I was even on antidepressants. Most people probably have absolutely no idea of what's gone on in my life over the past 2 years. And some of the things that have happened over the past 2 years, most people have absolutely no clue. And I also don't have a clue what's going on in your life and what's happened in the past 2 years. We just don't know. We don't know unless we're seeing a person every day and we're having conversations with them and we're asking them and finding out the reality of what's going on in their life, including the good bits, the bad bits, the neutral bits, the boring bits, the frustrating bits. Then we just don't get to see it. Because there are certain things on social media that you really don't get to see, especially things like jealousy. People never admit to being jealous, or people never admit to being bitter, or there's so many things that are kind of not talked about so much. There's actually a woman on Instagram, and she's called Lucy Sheridan. I highly recommend following her. She is a comparison coach. She's from Yorkshire, like me, in the UK. And she talks all about comparison in every aspect of life, not just online, but in real life and comparing yourself to other people. So if that's something you struggle with, I highly recommend following her on Instagram. I want to talk a bit about perfect skin and about why is that even the goal? Because I would challenge people and say, if your goal is to have perfectly clear skin, why is that the goal? Because to me, that's the wrong goal to have. At least for me, that's the wrong goal to have, perfect skin. In my mind, the goal is always optimal health, feeling as good as possible in my body. And this is not about how I look, by the way. The how I look could be a byproduct of how I'm feeling, but most of all, it's about how my body is feeling and functioning. How's my gut doing? How is my body achy? Is my body feeling fatigue? How's my mood doing? You know, how's my brain doing? What's going on in my actual body? And for me, the goal is always optimal health. I'm not saying I'm 100% there because I'm not. I'm a work in progress, as we all are. When people have this goal of having this perfectly clear skin, this glass skin, I just would challenge people to look below that goal and think, why is this my goal? Why is my goal to have perfectly clear skin? Because it's one thing to have a goal of having your skin clear up and healing from something like chronic acne or rosacea or different skin issues. That's one thing, but then wanting absolutely perfect skin where it's completely flawless, why is that? Why is that a goal of so many people? I mean, I think I know why. One of the reasons is because we are shown this standard of beauty that is just not realistic. We're shown it time and time and time again that for women, the ultimate goal is to have this flawless skin. And I mean, I certainly don't in real life. I definitely don't. I mean, I don't have acne anymore because I cleared my skin, but my skin is not perfect. I've said this so many times. My skin, I still have scarring and hyperpigmentation. I have hair on my face. I have visible pores. It's definitely not perfect. And the reason I believe that it's not perfect is because it's not actually achievable. Especially once you get past a certain age, it's just not achievable unless Maybe you have a lot of money and you can afford to go see an esthetician and have facials and have lasers and have all these quite expensive treatments on your face. And maybe you have the type of skin that does well with things like chemical peels. And there are so many skin treatments that celebrities and actresses and people like that they get done that most people don't know about. And that is why their skin looks so lovely. But for most people, that's just not a reality and it's just not possible to have all those procedures done, to get Botox, to get fillers, because there are cosmetic procedures like that that will also help your skin look super smooth. But like for me, I've never had Botox or fillers. I definitely wouldn't rule it out. Who knows? Maybe in a year's time, I'll feel like, oh, maybe actually I want that. At the moment, I can't imagine getting it done just because Botox is a toxin and all the work I've done to reduce toxins, it kind of doesn't make sense to do that. But, you know, I have considered fillers and things like that. I have considered lip fillers. Maybe I will get it done one day. But right now, I kind of want to get comfortable with the way I look right now and I guess being grateful for the fact that I am aging, which is a privilege. Aging is a privilege. Getting older is a privilege. And I kind of want to own my wrinkles. I kind of think they look awesome. I love seeing like a woman that fully owns the way she looks and her face. And she's not criticizing herself. She's not putting herself down. Maybe she's got her red lipstick on and I don't know, she's looking beautiful and she's just owning the fact that she has laughter lines and frown lines. I've got some really, well, they're getting heavier and heavier frown lines. And is that not just proof of hard work and wisdom and life experience? I don't know. I mean, the way I see wrinkles, I see it as life experience. The lines on your face. Is this sounding really cringy? I don't know. But I genuinely see it as it's your life on your face. The wrinkles around your eyes. That's because you've laughed so many times. And you've been frowning and staring at a piece of paper or because you've been working super hard on something. Is that not just life? Like, can we not just have that? And rather than feeling like we have to erase our wrinkles. And this is a very womanly thing, by the way. Men definitely don't have to think about this, at least as much. This is definitely a thing that women experience. Why does it feel like we have to erase these lines? Why can we not just like our lines on our face and our texture on our face and our scars? Why is it such a bad thing? And I could get into the whole topic. I've talked about this many times before and that with the beauty standards and why the beauty standards are there. There's a lot of history to this and some of it's innocent, some of it's completely not. A lot of it is to do with marketing and advertising and the way, I mean, we make these companies trillions of pounds, billions of dollars. These companies that create makeup and skincare and all these products for us, especially women, we give them so much money, so much money. And we're kind of manipulated into thinking that we have to spend all this money to look this perfect way or to look better and better and to never be satisfied with our own face. A couple of years ago, I wrote this quote and it was something like, it is okay to look like you with the exact face shape that you have, with the exact nose and chin and forehead and hair and skin type that you have. It is actually okay to just look like you because especially a couple of years ago, it was starting to become very obvious that almost everyone was starting to look the same. I feel like hopefully this is falling out of favor now, but with lip fillers and certain things, it was called Instagram face. It still probably is. people were really starting to look very, very similar. And you could kind of, by looking at someone, you could tell if they were from LA or, you know, somewhere like that, because they had this specific look about them. And I was thinking to myself, is it not just okay for us to look like ourselves? What is the problem with me just looking like myself? My whole life I've felt insecure about different parts of my face and my nose and my skin and my body. And it comes to a point where it's like, one, why does it even matter? And two, why can't I just look like myself? It's fine to just look like myself, and it's fine for you to look like yourself with the nose you have right now, with the hair you have, with the skin you have, with the lips that you have. If they're thin lips, I feel like thin lips at the moment have gone out of trend. But hey, in a few years, thin lips might be back in. Who knows? Who knows? We just don't know. But that shouldn't matter. That's not really the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is it's fine to look like you. It's good to look like you. And our looks really are the least important thing about us. Which brings me on to self-criticism. This is the last topic for today. So self-criticism, being really critical of yourself and beating yourself up, either because of the way you look, because of the way your skin is doing at the moment, if your skin's going through a particularly bad breakout. Believe me, I know how it feels to be so damn critical of yourself. It's still something I'm working on. I tend to be critical with all sorts of things. With my work ethic, I tend to be critical of even just things like my cooking and the way I look, or if I'm not doing something good enough. I want to be perfect, and I want to do things perfectly, and I want to be so good at work, and I want to be so good at Instagram, and I want to be like the best, and I want to look so perfect. And one, it's not possible. And two, self-criticism, sometimes it can be helpful. It can be helpful to have a healthy dose of expectations for yourself, because then we can push ourselves to do better. But there is a point, especially when it's on the topic of what you physically look like, there becomes a point where actually you're just beating yourself up and you're making yourself feel like crap. And it's not helpful for you, and it's not helpful for anyone around you, because beating yourself up and talking about yourself badly, whether it's in your own mind or whether you're speaking badly about the way you look to someone else and you're saying, oh, I hate my skin, I hate my face, I hate my nose, I hate whatever it is, that's not great for the other person either. It's not great for you, and it's not great for the other person. And especially if there's children around and we're saying things like, oh God, I need to lose weight, I need to, and you're looking in the mirror, you're criticizing yourself. That's not helpful for kids. It's not helpful for younger people to hear that. It's not helpful for you, most of all, to be judging yourself so critically. And I guess one of the tips I would give, and one of the ways to kind of stop this, or I guess get better with this, it probably won't ever stop being critical of ourselves. You know, it might not ever stop, but just being a bit more neutral about things, because it can be very easy to say, oh, just love yourself. Just love and accept yourself. It's so easy. Well, no. And when people have said things like of that kind to me, I've been like, oh, it just makes me cringe. So instead of going, if the idea of self-love or self-acceptance is too much and you think, no, that's too hard, that's too much, just start with being a bit more neutral and a bit more balanced with how you speak to yourself, and challenge the thoughts and the words that are coming out of your mouth and the thoughts that are coming up in your mind. So the next time you find yourself looking in the mirror and you think, oh God, I can see my forehead wrinkles really badly, or oh God, that my face is just such a weird shape, or God, I hate this, whatever it is, the next time you have that thought come up, challenge it. Don't let it slide by. Don't treat yourself like that and let it slide by. Challenge it. And just take a step back from it. You don't even need to do anything. Just notice that you've had that thought. Notice that you've had it and ask yourself, is this thought benefiting me? Is this helpful? Is this kind to myself? Would you say a comment like that to, if you had a daughter, would you say that comment to her? Or would you say that comment to someone you love? Would you say it to your friend or your partner, your daughter or your mother? Would you look at them and say, oh, look at your nose. Oh, look at your skin today. Or, man, you need to lose some weight. Would you say that to someone that you love? No, you probably, I really hope you wouldn't. Neither would I. So just challenge it the next time it happens. Challenge it. And if you notice yourself comparing yourself to people on, whether it's on Instagram or whatever it may be, remember that you're only seeing this curated 1% of their life where they look potentially beautiful and perfect and their life looks great. And just challenge yourself. Come at it from a bit more of a neutral place. I guess take the emotion out of it and come at it from a more neutral standpoint. Go to a kind of bird's eye view. And one of the things I think is, maybe this is just me, but I think, does this even matter in the big scheme of things? Like when I'm looking at my skin or my wrinkles, or on a very superficial level, if I'm criticizing myself because I made a meal and it was kind of disappointing, just that's such a basic example, but if I'm doing that to myself, does it really matter in the big scheme of things? When you're 90 years old, or when you're 100 years old, when you're much, much older, are you really going to be bothered about that? No, probably not. You're probably not going to be bothered about that. And same goes for if you're comparing yourself on social media to other people. In 50 years, is this thing really going to matter? If you're feeling jealous of someone on social media, whether it's a friend or a family member or someone you don't even know, in 50 years, is any of this going to really matter? Oh, and one thing which I really like, and I forgotten where this originally came from, so I do apologize. I think it was a podcast I was listening to. On this particular podcast, they were saying, if you're jealous of someone, if you are envious of someone, if you're comparing yourself to someone, especially with social media, but even off social media, if you're jealous of someone because they maybe have the life that you want, or the body, or the face, or say you're comparing yourself to Kendall Jenner. She's a model, a catwalk model, right? Say you're comparing yourself to her or anyone else. And what they were saying on this podcast is, you are wanting that part of them that looks so good, that 1% of them that's looking so good. If you want the good parts, maybe the life you dream of that they have, if you want that, you also have to take all the bad shit that comes along with that, all the hard stuff, all the hard things that they've been through, all the daily things that they go through that are hard. So for example, I'll give the example of, does anyone know about Molly May? Maybe she's more of a UK person, celebrity, influencer. So you could look at her life and she's beautiful, she's slim, she meets up to the beauty standards, the beauty standards that we currently have, and she's clearly very wealthy and you know, things like that. If you're comparing yourself to her and you're looking at her life and you're feeling jealous or envious and you're thinking, well, I want that as well. Well, then you also have to be willing to take all of the bad crap that she has had to go through or that she is going through. You have to be willing to take on all of that as well. You can't just take the good stuff. You have to take the bad, the neutral, the boring stuff as well. So for example, with Molly Mae, yes, she's wealthy, she's pretty, okay? But also, she has to deal with a lot of crap and a lot of judgments, and she's had to work very hard. Well, some people wouldn't say that she has, but this is another great example of you only get to see 1% of her life. There is 99% of her life that you don't get to see where she is working hard. Or I'm presuming she's working hard and going through, you know, hard times anyway. So you have to be willing to do that. And like as her as an example, she went on TV, she was on a reality TV show, which, you know, gave her a great platform, which is most likely how she got the majority of her audience. Well, if you want her life, are you also willing to go on national TV in front of millions and millions of people? Are you willing to put yourself on the line, your reputation on the line? Are you willing to, even if it's just to start an Instagram page, a public Instagram page, are you willing to put yourself visibly in front of millions of people? Because I know it looks so easy, but even me with a small audience, I can tell you it's not easy. It's not easy, and it can be really hard dealing with the judgments and dealing with nastier sides of the internet, I guess. And for her, she's got millions and millions of followers. So if you're wanting her life or any part of her life or her body, her face, are you also willing to take on all those bad parts of her life, the boring parts, the parts where she has to work really hard, the parts where she's getting abuse from millions of people, millions and millions of people? And I think with something like this, it can be hard for people to imagine what that's like. The majority of people don't have a big online following like her. So it can be really hard to imagine what that's like. But even me having a small audience, I have experienced having a panic attack because just a couple of people have sent me a particularly nasty critical message or a comment. My body, it's a full-blown body response that happens, like a panic attack that happens, and it hits you in the stomach. Your heart's beating fast and you start to doubt yourself and doubt your own character and feel like, oh my God, maybe I'm the worst person in the world. This person has said this thing, so maybe that means they must be right if they're saying it. And imagine with like Molly Mae, she's had millions of people attack her for the most stupid of stuff. And I cannot imagine how that must feel on her actual, just her physical body, because it's not something you can think your way out of. It's a very physical thing. And if you think of in terms of if you believe in the energy of things, if you can imagine having to hold the energy of millions of people who hate you, and every time you open the internet, having that feeling of dread, thinking, oh God, is someone going to say something today? Is someone going to send me an abusive message? Is someone going to comment on a particular body part? Is someone going to, I don't know, call me a murderer or something ridiculous, or accusing you of something you've absolutely not done? And I can only imagine what that must be like for her, having experienced it on a really, really small level. So you have to look at it from all angles. And even if we bring this example down and we think of, okay, maybe Molly Mae is quite an extreme example because she is so popular, but thinking of someone, even just a friend or a family member, say you have a friend and maybe you are feeling jealous or envious or comparing yourself because for any reason, look at their life. Would you be willing to take on the bad stuff, the neutral stuff, the boring stuff, the hard stuff. A great example is, or maybe this is not a great example, but this is my last example, okay, because I'm going to tie this episode up, but everyone always criticizes footballers and says that footballers make too much money. And, okay, would you be willing to train your whole life to be a footballer? Would you be willing to put in all the hours and hours and hours, the absolute dedication to their bodies that they have as an athlete or a footballer? Or like if you're an Olympic athlete, would you be willing to put yourself through all of that to then also experience the good things about their life? So that's just a kind of another example. And just to tie this episode up, when we're thinking about acne and we're thinking about our skin and having perfect skin and the way our skin looks, I know I kind of went off on a tangent there, but what it comes down to is if you are dealing with acne or you're dealing with this goal of wanting perfect, clear skin, I would challenge you to look beneath that goal of perfect skin and actually figure out what your goal really is. What do you really, really want? Is it the absolute perfect skin you want? Or is it acceptance from other people that you want? Is it attention from other people you want? Is it acceptance from yourself that you want? What is it really that you want? And as always, I believe that the goal should be optimal health, feeling really good in your body and things working really, really well in your body. So I'm going to tie this episode up now. If you have any questions you want me to answer on the podcast, just send me a DM. I would be incredibly grateful if you could review this podcast on Spotify now. And iTunes. I would be highly, highly grateful if you could review it. I would love to reach 100 reviews of the podcast by the end of this year, 2022. That would be amazing. I think at the moment I have four reviews on iTunes. So help a girl out and if you can, leave a review. And I know my mum will be listening to this. My mum, I'm sorry, mum, but my mum thought you could review every single podcast episode. So every time she's listened to my episode, she's been trying to review each episode and give it 5 stars, which is the sweetest thing ever. And like, thank you for being so supportive. I thought that was sweet. I like that. But yeah, review the podcast. You only need to do it once. It'll take you 1 minute. And I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all your support. And I hope me sharing about the antidepressant journey was helpful. If you want me to talk more about that, I can do. And yeah, have a wonderful week. And I will see you in next week's episode. Bye, everyone.